have in the studio at the moment Brandon McCullough from the band Silver. He's going to chat with us and play a few songs. If you want to instant message him or me, the handle on the AOL Instant Messenger is Kill Radio Station. This is what he sounds like in the studio. Check it out. Silver. Brandon McCullough is in my studio. Brandon, what are you doing here? Who are you? How'd you get here?
I got here by independent taxi cab.
Oh, man. See, this is the thing about Kill Radio and our funky monitors. Say hello, Brandon.
Hi.
That's better.
All right.
So, anyway, what's Silver, man? That's really good music.
Silver is a band. We've been around in Los Angeles since probably like the late 90s in some shape or form. We're a band. We release our music independently. You can hear it at silvermusic.us or at phonogenic.com or right here.
You have a MySpace page too, right?
Yeah, it's silvermusic.myspace.com/silvermusic.
cool, man. Cool. So tell me a little bit about you know, how you guys got started, your influences.
Got started in L.A. I got hooked up with a guy named Brian Bell from Weezer. He heard our band, and he had a side project called Space Twin. And he liked the band a lot, so he had a bunch of gigs around town and got us opening up for him at, you know, all kinds of different clubs. And that kind of, that's what got our foot in the door, you know.
Cool.
Influences? I don't know, everything. I don't know. That's a tough question. Beatles... Yeah, that's it. I'm just kidding.
Everybody says the Beatles. I have electronic acts in here say the Beatles.
It's the safest thing to say. No. Well, it's kind of true. We, like, when I was a kid, we had all these little Beatles songbooks around. I hadn't even really heard the Beatles, but we had, like, easy electone, you know, organ books for my sister and stuff. And so I would sit there playing all those songs. I didn't even know it was a band. And then I heard a bunch of English guys singing it. And I was like, wait, Penny Lane, that's my song from guitar practice. But yeah, that was, so it really truly was Beatles. I don't know, everything, anything that's good, I don't care anymore.
Well, cool. You want to play a song and then we'll chat a little bit more later?
Sure.
What do you have for us?
This is called Did I Lose You There.
Alright, let's do it. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. this is Brandon McCullough from the band Silver.
Follow concrete painted and waxed mason and glass somewhere inside my horror. Prudence drunk at the wheel, she's drunk with the feel like she's inside a bubble. Road is starting to spin, starting to win. She's just another girl in trouble. Did I lose you there? 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 This cardboard house isn't safe. In spite of the shakes, he is a real good father. Much too drunk to contain a daughter insane. A host of 15 lovers. Music played through the field. Her automobile was found beside a gutter. The road is starting to spin, starting to win. She's just another girl in trouble. Did I lose you there? 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 I broke the promise that I was keeping. Lose you there? 100 miles away from here, did I lose you there? I heard the sirens as I was sleeping. Lose you there? Yeah. This cardboard house isn't safe. In spite of the shakes, he is a real good father. Much too drunk to contain. Daughter insane. Host of 15 lovers. Music played through the field. Her automobile was found beside a gutter. Road is starting to spin, starting to win. She's just another girl in trouble. Did I lose you there? Did I lose you there? Did I lose you there? Did I lose you there?
Like a true musician, when you sing, you go right into the microphone, and when I ask you a question, you sort of mutter off microphone.
Sing, not speak.
Yes, exactly like that, exactly. So, the saddest movie I ever saw 2 minutes of about Alaskan crab fishing was was The Deadliest Catch, and you had a song really well featured in it. Tell me about it.
It was really cool. Tell you about the episode, or
just about how you got involved and how do you get your music heard aside from just playing gigs?
Well, TV has been really good lately. It was nothing I ever intended to do. I mean, you always sort of like, if you write songs, imagine them like in a cinema sort of situation. But how did I get involved with The Deadliest Catch? I was just at a barbecue with some friends, and someone was an editor on the show, and then they're like, hey, this guy plays music, and then one of their producers is like, oh, give me your music, and it's one of those pissing in the fan kind of things. So I gave them the music, and I was like 8 months later, someone called me from the production company, and they're like, yeah, we really love this, and we'd like to talk to you about licensing some songs for this show. And I'd never even heard of the show. I don't have cable, so I was like, alright, crab fishing show, it sounds really dumb, but I didn't say that. But then I watched it, and it's a really cool show, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it was really critically acclaimed and everything.
Yeah, so it's been cool, and they've gotten calls to put out a compilation based on, after some record company guys heard my tunes on it.
Wow. Did you do that before Smallville and One Tree Hill?
No, that was after. And Smallville, One Tree Hill was the same sort of situation, just somebody who I knew who worked at a company who placed music on the WB, and then they played it for music supervisors, and they liked it. It's not that hard. I think more musicians should do it, because everybody in this town is working on a production in some capacity, and the last thing on their mind is the music. So once they're at the, you know, right at the very end of their production, they're looking for music, and so it's good to just hand out music to everybody. And
so it's not who you know, it's who you barbecue with.
Who you got to barbecue with the right people.
Yeah, definitely. Tell me about the formation of the band Silver. Like, why isn't it just...
Okay. The formation of Silver, right? It's always, I mean, I get ridiculed for like band member changes and stuff like that. It's always been me and a different group of people. It started with my sister and I, and then she ended up having a baby and living a normal, healthy life and continuing that direction.
Uh-oh.
And then I stayed with this. I've just always just found musicians and people I gravitated towards my music and liked it for just for the sake of the music, because I haven't had any money to pay anybody, so everybody I've ever played with has just been the coolest, you know, because for whatever period of time they could play with me, they did it out of the goodness of their heart, and it was never polluted with, like, not polluted with money, but it was, you know, an honest sort of situation.
Right.
The band that I'm, the guys I play with right now, we've played, been together for like 6 months, and they've been the coolest. Brad on drums, and Matt Delvecchio on bass, and then myself, so we've been a power trio.
Sweet. Why don't you play another song? We'll talk about that some more later.
All right, cool. This is called Cruel Son. Well, I spent half my life within. Now I can't have a life without it. Cruel son, it gives you something to overcome. This bird's flown with one wing for much too long. I never focused on the mirror. You can't position your way out. It's a cruel son, it gives you something to overcome. This bird's flown with one wing for much too long. The earth seemed to shatter, and I was rolled on my own. The earth seemed to scatter, and said, go boy, be strong. Said, something to overcome. The birds flow with one wing for much too long. A cruel son with travelers on the run. This bird's flown with one wing for much too long.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Brandon McCullough from the band Silver. What was that song called?
It's called Cruel Son. That was the one that was on Smallville.
Cool. Are you guys signed?
No.
Is that part of your plan? What's the plan for the band? Is it fame, cover Rolling Stones, all that stuff, or is it
no,
just
never
good
cover
music?
The Rolling Stones. They'll take all your music, all your money.
Oh yeah.
Just kidding. The plan is to continue. Just like I never think about things in terms of like getting signed and stuff. I think that's just like breeds a weird motivation for music.
Right.
If it, you know, it's not as great as you'd imagine. I mean, how many bands have you met that have been signed and they're just got their record sitting on a shelf somewhere? They can't tour. They can't do anything. They're contractually like obligated to. I don't know. It sounds scary. For me, it's just I know people who are on the creative side of music, like producers and stuff, who love working with me, and so I'll just make records, and you know, we are putting out a record in Chile.
Oh yeah,
which is kind of an interesting development. These guys in a band called Lucy Bell, which are like platinum Chilean band, saw us at Hotel Cafe, and they are tight with this independent label that distributes through EMI and stuff, and they want to license a record and put it out in Chile, so that's kind of cool.
Nice.
And then the Deadliest Catch people are putting out a compilation CD where they're going to include like two or three of Silver songs, and that's going to be a pretty big deal because it's getting popular overseas too, like in England and everything. So those are the two like kind of major-ish releases that'll happen, and then we're working on another independent record on our own, which I mean I always have super high hopes for everything. Like someone's going to like you know put this out there.
It'd be like David Hasselhoff, big in Germany.
Yes, that's the goal, to be just like David Hasselhoff. But yeah, that's the plan. And then you know, it, to me, it's like I like to make the record on my own and then see what kind of business stuff can happen afterwards, as opposed to like getting in bed with a bunch of suits while recording it, and then they own sort of part of your record.
Right.
You know, it's good to keep it as independent as possible during that process, because then they can't, you know, tell you that they spent a bunch of money on you. You know, because mm-hmm. they didn't. And then you can just license shit to them. Sorry.
Speaking of, no, it's okay. Say shit.
You
fuck,
can say
this
shit
is
on
Kill
the
Radio.
Internet.
Oh, absolutely.
That's fucking great.
Yeah, this is unwatched.
Yeah, sweet.
Except for that little camera over there in the corner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Karl Rove's pupil behind it.
mentioning Chile, you're kind of an international character, you know. So I want you to tell me a little bit about that. I know you're from all over.
My dad was in the Foreign Service in the State Department, so I grew up in I was born in Bilbao, then we moved to Costa Rica. He started as like a desk officer and then moved up to eventually taking over for the ambassador in Paraguay, which is weird. But started in Calcutta, then lived in Costa Rica, started in Bilbao, Spain, then Costa Rica, then lived in Calcutta. And then we moved to the United States, and then after that, I spent time in, like, all over the place, like Colombia and Paraguay. And, it's all because of my dad's job. He would have to move around. I've just been out here for the last 8 years. But
do you think that had anything to do with your music? You know, sort of seeing how the rest of the world works, that have any effect on you artistically?
It did. It doesn't – it's a different there's different motivation overseas. Like when I lived in Calcutta, the first band I ever saw that made me want to play music was this Indian band that was like a kind of a classic three-piece Indian band, which was a kora, tabla player, and a sitar player. And I was just watching them at some party my parents were had at the Indian embassy, and I was amazed by it. But it was more of a blue-collar sort of mentality. It wasn't like, you know, rock star mentality. It was just like, you know, being a musician is somebody who entertained people, or, you know, it's more a realistic kind of thing. So yeah, it did influence me. But then it was weird to get to the United States and everybody, every time someone picks up a guitar, it has to be like on a huge pedestal.
Right.
It's weird.
Well, cool. Well, entertain me then. I want more.
Yes. Keep
be my monkey.
What do I have for you?
By the way, everybody should check out www.silvermusic.us, right?
.us, yeah.
Or myspace.com/silvermusic.
Do you long to fight for something worthwhile? buried deep, deep inside. There's something special, we're tired of waiting around. And crawling all over town. She's the moon at night, framed in the doorway. She's the mellow sunshine, I see her every morning. She's tired of waiting around. Well, this whole thing's got her down. I don't wanna be your temporary girl, she says to me in elementary words. Temporary girl, I can no longer hide from ordinary people chasing the sunshine through every doorway. They're tired of waiting around, they're crawling all over town. Temporary girl, she says to me in elementary words. I wanna scream when I picture you with her, your temporary girl. Temporary girl, she says to me in elementary words. I wanna scream when I picture you with her, your temporary girl. I wanna be your girl, your girl, your temporary girl, your girl, your temporary.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. I'm John Hirsch. My guest is Brandon McCullough from Silver. If you want to download this show, it'll be available tomorrow. You can sign on to my MySpace page, myspace.com/John Hirschfield Music, or you can go directly to killradio.org to download the show. If somebody wants to buy your music, how do they go about doing that?
The best way is you can go on iTunes. We're on iTunes. If you search Dreams in Black, that's the name of the EP, that's the best way. For some reason, under Silver, it's not been coming up that when I checked anyway. But so iTunes, there's a website called phonogenic.com, phonogenic.com, where you can also download that record and my first record called Red City. Or if you want to get it's a disc, cdbaby.com has it. Or you can go right to our website, silvermusic.us, or Amoeba Music.
So you've basically made yourself totally unavailable.
Yep, the modern distribution deal is at cdbaby.com. Oh, how annoying, my phone's ringing.
How LA, your phone's ringing.
I mean, some other guy in the studio's phone.
Right.
Anyway.
What is Is there something in particular that you think your music is about that you're like trying to achieve on a lyrical level? Like, is it about lost love, or, you know, Midnight Oil always thinks about the environment? You know what I mean?
Yeah, me too. I'm thinking about Australian politics mainly. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's just what comes out. And a lot of times, yeah, it's this sort of like love song that I don't know where it really comes from, but it's just, I don't know, it's just an honest sort of lyrics that come out, and I don't know, I can't necessarily, I don't know, certain ones are true to some situation that happened to me in my life, but other ones, I honestly don't know where it comes from. I don't have like a specific message or anything. I think it's more, just more of an honest communication, because a lot of music you hear is...
It sounds like we're in a casino.
I know, but there's no money coming out of it. Just an honest communication is my goal, you know. And
that's cool.
And not just writing crap, for, you know, to fill up space.
What's your process? Do you usually write the lyrics first and then come up with a tune, or you do it at the same time?
Usually I'll just be messing around on guitar, come up with some chord change, and then start singing some random garbage over it, and then sort of piece that together or attempt to write it, but I think it always ends up better if you just like piece it together and sort of let the song write itself.
Nice.
Instead of imposing, you know, what you're thinking at the time onto it, then it always sounds like forced a little bit. So yeah,
sure.
Usually I'll just like kind of try to, you know, pull the song out instead of write it, you know.
We have a CD here of some of your recorded music. Do you want to play a track from here so you can check your voicemail?
Yeah. An interesting one off this is number 4. This is actually recorded with a guy named Robbie Adams, he's a really cool guy. He's in town. He worked on some of the U2 stuff, and me and him worked together on a bunch of recordings. This is probably the top one. It's called A Train Is Coming.
Excellent. You have a video for this too, right?
Yeah, it's on the website.
This is Silver on Is Good with John Hirschfield on killradio.org. So I'm sitting here in the Kill Radio studio with Brandon McCullough from Silver.
Yes.
And we're just talking about how we don't really have anything to talk about.
We don't. We slept together last night and it's awkward.
It's very, very awkward. You DJ also, right?
Yes.
That's cool. You DJ at Vine Bar?
Yes. It is.
And you're taking a course in conversation.
Yes. English as a third language. Yeah, it's a cool bar. It's on Vine Street and Fountain. There's like a little arrow that points down that says cocktails, and it's really cool. Yeah, so Monday night's me and a DJ named Matt Finish both switch on and off playing. Like, he plays more just like, you know, an encyclopedic knowledge of old rock and roll, and I'll play stuff that you'd recognize a little bit more, but it's mm-hmm. like, you know, in the vein of like old Neil Young mm-hmm. and the Hollies.
Because that's kind of a rock bar, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. That's but then cool. There's also, you know, some English element to it. We play Echo and the Bunnymen and Bauhaus and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a cool place. Come Monday nights.
That last track that we just played, Train Is Coming, made a video for that. What was it like making a video for a song? I mean,
that was really cool. That's the second one we did. We did one for a video for a song called Suspicious, which it was just some friends with video with cameras, and we did an edit of it, and that was technically the first one. This one, a guy named Sam Taby approached us, and he had a concept for it because he liked the song a lot. And so I let him, you know, I told him, you know, in a couple meetings what the song was about to me, and then he just wrote the entire treatment for it, and just, you know, it was fun because we could just be like the talent on the video and be actors basically, mm-hmm. and show up, and he directed the whole thing. So he did an amazing job. I can't believe how much work he put into it. But yeah, it was totally guerrilla style. We were downtown on shooting on this train track for the majority of the day that we thought was just like a dead abandoned section of train track. We had like kids in the video. And then right at the last scene, we just see like this little puff of smoke.
Oh no!
And the irony is, the song's called "A Train Is Coming," and we just see this train coming. And we're like, Jesus Christ! We had no permits, nothing. Like, we had a security guard that we had convinced it was a college shoot, even though like half of the guys on the crew had like white hair. And we're like, they're you know, students. Trust me. But then we had to pull everybody off the tracks. The train like went by, and it was interesting. But it was really fun to do.
What's the life of a video? I mean, do you try to get that on MTV or just show it online?
We had a premiere for it. I haven't tried to get it on MTV. I always like make stuff and then start making other stuff instead of trying to do stuff with the shit I made. No, we haven't. We just put it up on the website, and you know, tons of people have seen it off the website and gone to it that way. We had a premiere for it at the Hotel Cafe. And it goes out like with promotional stuff, like clips from it. But we haven't—I don't think we've ever had it on any like sort of MTV show.
There's some guys in here the other day for the Johnny Radio show. He's another DJ here, and from something called Music Plus TV. They're like a new website that's sort of like television online,
They
show videos for like independent bands, unsigned bands,
right,
stuff
on,
like that.
Dude. We're networking.
So I have their card somewhere. I'll
try Sweet,
hook
dude.
You up with that.
I got this radio show. I can. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Right. Well, cool, man. You want to play something else?
Sure.
What do you have in mind?
I don't know, man. I'm so unprepared. Let me see. All right, I'll do this song never gets played. It's called Dreams in Black off the new EP.
That chair is actually a musical instrument.
It is.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
See you.
woke up today, paid the rent. Everything looks bad at best. I found that dream in black and white. I found that dream. I think I see you calling. Throw my broken arms around you. Think I hear you breathing. Think I see. Did I see you? We cross town. Well, that's where the money's made. For what's going down. Town. Well, that's where they operate. For what's going down. For what's going down. I think I see. I think I see calling. Throw my broken arms around you. Think I hear you breathing. Think I see. Did I see you? Did I see?
Brandon McCullough from Silver is my guest. You're listening to Is Good with John Hirschfield on killradio.org. Brandon, I want to read something. I was going through your website, and I saw a review of one of your performances at Dragonfly in 2002, and it's I think it's worth reading on the air. And then I want to ask you what you think about what it's like being perceived by others. So this is by Chuck Mindenhall writing about a performance at Dragonfly from the LA Weekly. Brandon McCullough is a go-getter. He's the lady-killing head voice and songwriter of local psychedelic rock outfit Silver, which, incidentally, is one of the best bands languishing in obscurity. In the past 3 years, the Goa/Irish madcap has learned that necessity is more important than gravy. Silver has reduced its roster from 5 to 3, jettisoning the bongos and keyboards in favor of a straight-ahead guitar, drums, bass, rock ensemble. Each of the 11 songs on the just-released Red City on his own Substance Records contains the lyrical needlework and push-now-shove guitar of a wiser McCullough, who patiently waited for the chemistry to be perfect before throwing his soul onto a disc. That's some serious strokage going on. That's a really good review.
It sounds cool when you read it. I've read that a million times.
It didn't sound that good? Impact
now.
People often hire me to read their reviews for them.
You should. I'd love it.
Psychedelic rock. Well, what does that mean to you?
That's a weird one. I don't know what that means. Psychedelic rock. I don't know that there's any rock that isn't at this point. I guess that phrase came out in contrast to like really straight ahead 50s kind of rock stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that anyone who hasn't taken acid at this point. But yeah, I guess that's his opinion, is that it's a psychedelic rock band. Oh, I don't know.
And what was
I
it?
I can't defend that.
So before you had bongos and keyboards, how has that affected your music? Like getting rid of that, has it made it stronger, you think?
It's made it more direct. I think at first we would just have everybody on stage. Like when they wrote this, we would have like Greg Slay, who played in Remy Zero, would come up for one song, and he'd have like this African drum kit.
Mm-hmm.
It was just more of a sort of a bohemian circus environment, which was fun for the time. It was great because I was like learning, you know, a lot about, you know, playing on stage with different people, and it was cool to play with all these people. But I don't know, for the point of just being direct, I narrowed it down to 3.
You recently played a Hotel Cafe. That must have been a good gig. That went well, right?
Yeah, really good. We play there, you know, usually like once a month or once every 2 months.
Do you have any unbelievably awkward live performance stories? Has anything just gone terribly wrong? Anybody get struck by lightning on stage or anything like that?
Well, the time before the last that I played there, it was just like the, you've heard it a million times, just getting completely shocked by the microphone. Nothing too bad, but it's one of those weird things where you can't get really into a song, because if your lip touches the microphone, suddenly you've got your head is full of electricity. Unbelievably awkward. I should have a story for that, but I don't. It's usually just somebody playing like the totally wrong notes. You should walk over and be like, it's in A minor. And then they're like, oh, okay. So, I don't know. I wish I had a good anecdote for that. I don't.
Do you guys spend a lot of time together as a band, like rehearsing, getting ready for the shows, or?
Yeah. We're pretty, run a pretty tight ship for rehearsing. Usually, you know, months go into it before the shows start, and then at least a couple rehearsals per show. And lately we're trying to introduce new songs into the set. We've probably done about 6 or 7 shows with the same set, so it's time to mix it up.
Well, cool. Do you want to sign off with one more song? Do you have one? You want to make one up on the spot?
Should I make one up? No, I can't make one up. Let me think. Yeah, I'll play something. Here we go. No idea what. Let's see. Dead air, but that's bad, right?
That's not dead if you're strumming. Yeah, that one sucked. Do
that
another one.
That one sucked, dude.
That was the worst.
Wherever she sleeps, and that's the final answer. She's tired of living all by herself. Ocean of greed leads us to this fine disaster. She's sick and tired of being used, sick and tired of being rude to me. Hello, are you home? And do you feel like letting go? You're holding on with one hand, I need two to feel secure. I am the way she put my heart up on the shelf. Started to drink till I couldn't see, till I was violent. I'm sick and tired of being used, sick and tired of being rude to her. Hello, are you? Hello, are you home? And do you feel like letting go? I'll run as fast as I can, kick my shoes right through the door. Hello, hello. Are you home? Do you feel?
This is why the show is called Is Good. Brandon, you gave me this this flyer for your DJing at Vine Bar.
Yes.
And it says good for one free drink.
It is.
I just thought you should know that it when I first read it, I was like, it was like your DJing is so bad that it's worth going there for a free drink and then leaving.
It is.
Like, DJ Brandon McCullough, good for one free drink.
Right. That was actually another weekly review.
Thanks so much for coming in, man. Your music is awesome. I'm sure that, you know, we're going to hear more of you, or at the very least, hear more of your music on TV. So,
right on, dude.
Thanks for coming
thanks
in, man.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Using up your own. choose to refuse you. It's not that I used you. I left when I should believe that I could have held on. But you never let go. Or at least I think so. If all I've got are these tears, will the sun come up and rid me of darkness again? Throw my hands up. Why did I choose to refuse you? It's not that I miss you, and all of my words were withheld and heard I did fall, but she never let go, or at least I think so.
This is
This has been another lovely episode of Is Good with John Hirschfield on killradio.org. A couple of things to email and websites to go to and stuff. My guest today was Brandon McCullough from the band Silver. Go to silvermusic.us or myspace.com/silvermusic. If you want more info on Is Good and Kill Radio and my DJ stuff, you can go to myspace.com/John Hirschfield Music. You can find a link to that on the Kill Radio schedule page. If you go to killradio.org and click on schedule, my show is every Thursday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. This weekend, you can see me DJ live in a couple of places. Friday night, I'm DJing at Lava Lounge. Before and between and after sets by some pretty cool electronica-based musicians, Cubakey, Rediscover, Jean-Paul Yamamoto, and Product. And then on Saturday, I have a gig at Tribal Cafe, which is a very cool cafe in Echo Park on Temple Street. And there will be belly dancers there, which should make the night even more interesting. That's a $7 cover, and dinner is half off. So I recommend going there, having a bite to eat, and then going out later, getting yourself good and trashed like you do every weekend. I know you do. No. Don't look at me like that. No, wait. Okay. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week, which we'll have, by the way, my guest next week will be Eyesight Project, which is good.